The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder about the relationship between the commandments of God, the law of God, and the gospel. Well, here to wonder about it with us, my good friend, Greg Jarvis. Greg, welcome to our program.
Hey, Bob. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
How am I doing? I'm doing okay. I did something really stupid last night. Qualifies as one of the top 10 stupidest things I've done with my life. One of them was buying a Ford Pinto years ago. But last night, I kind of wrecked the brakes on my car.
Oh, going downhill?
No, not going downhill. I was driving home from a party, didn't drink, wasn't one of those things. But somebody, it was on one of those single lane roads, and somebody must have been going 20 miles per hour when the speed limit was like 50. Suddenly, we switch to two lanes, so I start to pass him, and then he signals like he's going to get in front of me. So I wait patiently, and he never gets in front of me. And then we finally go to a single lane again, and the guy's just driving me berserk. Finally, when it opens up to two lanes again, I go really fast to pass him. Just as I pass him, there's this big freaking red light. The good news is I slammed on the brakes and stopped without running a red light. Bad news is the brakes have not been quite the same since I did that. When I brake now, it sounds like somebody's face is being dragged across the concrete. So I'll be taking it in tomorrow and paying an expense that I really don't have. But the thing is, it's also unnecessary. It was my own stupid fault. I mean, the guy was aggravating, but it wasn't worth all this.
Well, I don't know that it ever is worth it, but it didn't sound like you... Well, maybe you just confessed that, you know, you did it out of aggravation. But I think I would have gone around the guy, too. So, but yeah.
Going around, nothing wrong with going around the guy, but I don't know why I didn't notice that light. And I was just, I think if I hadn't been so preoccupied with getting ahead of him, and for what? For an extra few minutes of getting to my destination faster. It wasn't worth it. So, kids, you stay in school. Don't try that. Don't do drugs either. Hope the lesson was not lost on all you youngsters out there.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your brakes. Hopefully they'll be...
Yeah, well, I'll be even sorrier tomorrow when I get the bill.
it's not cheap. But, you know, maybe you'll get some... Well,
yeah, and then they'll go, oh my gosh, yeah, you threw out your converter Johnson Rod Steinbliner too. You talk all this gibberish, you know.
Well, I don't
your
know.
Your XV34 module 701 needs to be replaced.
What year is your car?
What year is that car? 2008.
Okay. Well, maybe you do want to get, I don't know how long you're going to have it. Maybe you want to get those lifetime brakes where they replace them for free.
I don't know. I had my brakes replaced just a couple of years ago, actually. Apparently, they weren't lifetime brakes, though.
Well, they're not going to last a lifetime, but you...
I didn't get any warranty like that.
All right. So much for that. Sorry about your luck there. But you didn't run the red light, so whew.
Yeah, the goodness, boy, I'll tell you, if I could have run the red light and gotten away with it and not messed up my brakes, I want to say it might have been worth it. Unless I had one of those cameras that was going to take my picture like Big Brother.
Well, what about cars coming the other way? I mean, there's always that.
That's the thing. There were a few cars coming. It's good that I didn't run the red light. Not real good, evidently. Just kind of good.
Kind of good. I mean, I couldn't have done this show without you. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here. So what do you want to talk about? You're oh, wait a minute. I'm the one that's the guest. I'm going to come up with it.
You said you wanted to do something about the law and the gospel, something to that effect.
I do, because that's where I'm at right now. That's where I'm studying. I should give a shout out to my pastor, Mike Hubbard, because I'm only, you know, studying this right now because this is what we're going over in church, and it just so happens to ignite my interest and my heart. I mean, my heart actually, like, leaps during the service. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is good stuff. This is God's good stuff, you know? And so I'm glad for that, and I'm glad that it's sinking in and it's having an effect. I wanted to, real quick, because this is like the third time in, I don't know, so many months, maybe 4 or 5 months that I've been on. And
well, we love having you on, Greg.
Well, thank you. I'd love to be on, Bob. Just to remind, that first time not too long ago, we talked about the difference between being a student of Christ and a disciple of Christ. You remember that?
Yes. Yes.
And the student of Christ gives themselves over to the teaching of their teacher, whereas a disciple of Christ, or, you know, a student in general, gives himself over to the teaching. A disciple gives himself over to the teaching and the teacher. There's more of a relationship there. I highlight the word relationship.
Yes, because simply being taught means you're taking in knowledge. Being discipled means your life is going to change somehow.
Right, right, right. And I think that myself, first and foremost, I don't want to point fingers without looking at my own life, there's a lot of areas and ways as a Christian. I'm more of a student and with a head knowledge of things, and it's not having the desired effect. It's not bearing fruit all the time, and I think that's because of that being a student as opposed to being a disciple. I think we have to work at being a disciple. I don't know that it comes naturally to most people. But again, I highlight what you mentioned. It changes the life, and it's relationship. Well, the second time I was on, we talked about God being the hero. We talked about these characters in Scripture, Old and New Testament, and they're kind of highlighted, and people hold them up as examples, and they're heroes of the faith, they're heroes of the Bible. And I wanted to underline that it's really God, the hero, that he's working prior to them, through them, and then after them. It's God that's bringing about these things. And the reason that's so important to me is because I don't know if other people do this, but I can put such pressure on myself to be my own hero, to have the answers, to do the right thing, to have the right job, to succeed, whatever that means. And it's really liberating to know that God's the hero who will work through my life and invites me to participate in what he's doing rather than, you know, me having all this pressure. And I think that's a valuable lesson, keeping that idea squarely in front of us.
Absolutely.
So those are the two previous ones. And in that, that's kind of where this week comes out of, talking about the Old Testament, talking about the commandments, talking about relationship and the gospel, how that all fits together. Well, God being the hero, one of these phrases that our pastor likes to use is that the simple mathematics of it.
Now, Greg, I made it clear that we were never to have any math on the show.
Well, you'll not have an easier math. This is not even an equation.
All right.
And he uses the word math. But if you remember, this is valuable for how we look at our relationship with God. And it's simply in the words, 19 comes before 20. Easy enough to remember. 19 comes before 20.
Yeah, but it does sound a little mathematical so far, though.
I know.
Yeah, but
I know.
I'm with you so far. 19 does come before 20.
Well, there you go. You just got it, and you just did it.
Yeah, it wasn't that hard.
No, I'll send you out a graduation certificate.
Okay. I could just hear Pomp and Circumstance playing right now.
But the reason that is a truth that we want to highlight and understand is that in Exodus 19, that's where God's talking about how he, he's talking to Moses about how he had saved the Israelites, how he defeated the Egyptians, how he bore the Israelites on eagle's wings and, you know, brought them out of Egypt, and that he was going to have them as his people, and he was going to be their God. And that is so key because basically he redeemed them, you know, from Egypt and brought them out. I did all that prior to laying on them the guidance of commandments,
right,
and all that. But I get a sense that a lot of times we as Christians get that backwards. We want to put rules and regulations and the do's and the don'ts up first, and then out of that, depending on how well you do, we might have a pretty good relationship.
Well, I agree, and I also think that I honestly don't have a whole lot of place for rules and regulations afterwards, too. I mean, I know they did that in the Old Testament. The New Covenant was supposed to replace the law of God with a relationship with God. And I don't think a lot of Christians get that. When they say, well, I'm not under the law of Moses, they understand that they're saved because Christ died for their sins. Well, Christ's death for their sins on the cross even took care of the people in Moses' day, even though they never heard of him. But people make the mistake of believing that the New Testament is here to give us new law instead of old law. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Paul says we're not under any law. What we are under is a relationship. Now, out of that relationship, out of our love and gratitude for God, by osmosis, we should just be doing the things he wants to do and going beyond the law anyway. Thus, Jesus' words, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law.
Right, and it is fulfilled. And like you said, it's out of that relationship that we want to do the things that please God. Because of that relationship, and also because now it's consistent with who we've become in Christ. If we've truly become a disciple of Christ, then we are deeply immersed in that relationship, and it's doing the things that are pleasing to God that will be most pleasing to us. But like I said, and like you said, we tend to get those laws in there, even New Testament law, and rules, regulations. It seems like we feel best when we can grab hold of some direction that we can measure ourselves.
Well, people like structure, and some of that's legitimate because we do need some structure in our lives. But it's also true that people will trade their freedom for some security. And that's part of the problem. Well, Greg, hold with me over the break. I'm here with my good friend Greg Jarvis talking about the difference between law and grace. We'll be right back.
This is Dana Wright, a reoccurring co-host on The Bob Siegel Show. You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
I'm here with my good friend Greg Jarvis, who came on the show in earnest to talk about the Bible. So what do I start doing? Talking about my car. And right while I'm talking, I get a text from Pastor Jim Garlow of Skyline Church, where I attend. And he says, I'm speaking at Young Adults Church Service right now. I assume that means he was on his way to speak there, because I'm trying to figure out how he's listening to the show and teaching at the same time. But I guess he means he's on his way there. He says, be careful when you drive, no brakes. Wow. Then he says, he's cutting me some slack. He says, you are in love. It makes you distracted when you drive. Well, I am in love, Jim. I wish I could say that was the reason, but like I said, last night, I sure didn't feel like I was in love with that guy that I was trying to cut in front of. Then he says, and remind them of the free trip to the Caribbean when they visit Skyline. He's referring to one of our Skyline commercials. It was actually a free trip to Bermuda.
Bermuda, right.
Yeah, and then I tell them, well, you won't really get a free trip to Bermuda, and you don't really want to go there anyway. People there disappear. So that's Bermuda. I don't know if that will play this week, Jim. We have several Skyline commercials, and they rotate. I heard that Bermuda one last week, so probably we got a different one playing. But yes, I do enjoy promoting Skyline Church. And I should tell all of you, Skyline is not paying me anything. I just started doing this. They're not paying me anything to make these clever commercials about Bermuda. Anyway, Greg, welcome back to our show. Just thought I'd read from the pastor and give you evidence that somebody out there is listening or was listening before he started speaking at the young adult service.
On his way to somewhere else. Well, that's
young adult service. Place. Come on, put on the Bob Siegel show. What could be better for some young adults?
I can't think of anything. And that probably would be a nice treat for them. And, you know, you talked about your brakes. I was going to talk about my squirrels. And at the very beginning, this is a religious forum where all questions are welcome.
So like questions like, do you brake for squirrels?
I was going to ask you if squirrels are going to be in heaven, because I'll tell you what, I got squirrels living in my house.
Evidently, the squirrels around you, Greg, are probably on their way to heaven right now.
Not yet. I would like to send them there. But they're up in my soffits, and my soffits are completely enclosed. They're not exposed, and they don't connect to the attic. I don't have any idea how they got in there, but it's like a habit trail, and it's huge.
Yeah. I think you can kill them, because they'll probably go to heaven. I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to smoke them out.
Well, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this. I actually get asked that question very seriously. Usually not an animal in the abstract, but usually people are concerned about a pet, like a dog or a cat. They want to know if they're going to go to heaven. And the first thing I always tell them is that, I don't know. The Bible doesn't comment on that directly. But if so, I have a cat who I'm sure is going straight to hell when she dies.
Oh, I've seen your cat. I mean, sort of.
Oh, they're cute, but they don't have a whole lot of redeeming virtues, do they?
No, but Christ does. There you go. I don't know if he may have covered.
Well, you know, C.S. Lewis entertained an idea that if the pets are important to us, then they might be important to God. And that makes a lot of sense to me. I used to always hear people say, oh, well, animals don't have souls. And I hear Christians say those kinds of things all the time. And I go, well, that sounds great. Just now, what scripture are you using? And of course, they have none. So uh-huh. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that animals don't have souls. Certainly not the same kind of soul that a human being has. And I'm not an animal rights activist. I do believe people are more important to God. Now, saying that God might resurrect our pets and saying he might resurrect some squirrel in your attic, that's a whole different story.
Maybe if I name the squirrel, because I have two names.
How about, Fred, Jeffrey?
There you go.
Just don't name him Alvin. That's a chipmunk name.
Oh, good call. Good call. Okay, well, I wouldn't want to get anyone confused over that.
Our guest today is Dave Seville and the squirrels.
I will let you know how the squirrel fiasco goes. It'll be a week or so before I get them out.
Now, is it a sin for me to be more concerned about my brakes than your stupid squirrels?
No, no, no. In fact, you should be more concerned about your brakes because of
I'm far more concerned.
You should be more concerned about your brakes because of what Pastor Garlow said. You got to stop.
Well, you know, that's it. You know, you need a car with brakes.
Right. Right. That's one of the
You don't want to have to go back to the dealer and go, oh, brakes. If you wanted brakes, you should have ordered the deluxe package.
Yeah, except you wouldn't make it to the dealer. You'd go whizzing right by his lot and you'd be stopping somewhere about five blocks away.
What do you need brakes for? You can just stop online these days.
Yeah, you could pull a Fred Flintstone.
Yeah. You could do everything else on our iPhone. Pretty soon we'll be able to brake also somehow. Don't ask me how.
I don't know. It's going to come. It's going to come with all the technology. Okay, so enough about brakes, enough about squirrels, enough about squirrels.
All right, I guess we had to get back to the Bible sooner or later.
Yeah. Okay, well, we were talking about the law being given, and now we're under grace, not the law. But, you know, the law, just a side note here, was actually a wonderful thing. And the psalmist, wasn't the psalmist learning to delight in
David delighted in God's law because he delighted in God.
Right, right.
Yes.
And I think that's how we can look at it, is it reveals God's holy character. It sets the Jews apart as a special and holy people. Then people want to go into, well, it was dietary and there was safety involved and there was, I don't always hold to all that because there were, I think, some things that were forbidden that were probably just fine to eat, but
I think a lot of those things that were forbidden because they were too reminiscent of idol worship. I don't ascribe much to the health part of it either. Yeah.
So there were things that actually are wonderful and revealing again of that relationship with God. So the law is a terrific thing, showing again that relationship, that covenant, which by the way, is terrific that God redeems his people out of Egypt, sets up a covenant, and it's non-negotiable. He didn't sit down at a table with Moses and say, okay, here are my 20 things that I suggest, and what do you guys got? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. We'll go with this. And
yeah, it's reminding me of the Mel Brooks movie where Moses walks down with the three tablets, because the Lord God's given me these 15, and one of them breaks. Oh, 10 commandments.
Yeah, it's a good scene. And that's not too far from the truth. I mean, except it was 10 and 10, but
well, there was really over 300. It's just that there were 10 that God gave audibly, and before he could continue, the people got so freaked out, they said, Moses, we don't want to hear his voice. Why don't you go up on the mountain and let him tell you the rest of them? Then, of course, when Moses came down from the mountain, they go, how do we know you were up there talking to God? Are you saying your relationship with God is better than ours? So you just can't win.
No. You can't with people.
Yep. Okay, we'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric, Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Not sure when to try an unusual new novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel and Greg Jarvis. Take it away, Greg.
Hey. Well, no, you can't always depend on people unless you're going to depend on them to mess up and do stupid stuff.
But isn't it interesting how the people were depending on Moses? Here God was going to go through all 300-some laws himself, and then they send Moses up there, and then when he comes back down, they don't even believe that he was up there talking to him.
It's interesting how quickly we can change. We don't have a propensity toward God. I find myself deviating quite often and getting very frustrated.
That's a good word, in as much as the word deviate seems to have the word devil connected to it somehow. So deviating from God, that's an excellent way to put it, Greg.
Well, thank you. That's why I'm here, Bob. Okay, we know that's not why I'm here.
It is making me hungry for some good deviled eggs, though. I don't ever eat on Sundays, so it's making me hungry right now.
But so this is what I was wanting to get to. One thing I really want to get to, and not that this was the main topic, but you know, going over 19, where God talks about, you know, being their God and saving them out of Egypt, defeating the Egyptians. You know, they did nothing. They did nothing. God did everything.
No, they did a lot of whining and complaining.
Well, that's true. You know what? Come to think of it, yeah.
I wouldn't say they did nothing.
But that's not quite on the list that I was looking at.
Right.
But yes, they did plenty of that. Belly aching.
They did nothing to merit what was going on, to earn what was going on.
Well, and there was disobedience. They did disobey. So you're right. They did a lot of things. But God did it all. He set up a covenant that was non-negotiable and invited them to participate. Now, this is after he redeemed them. This is after relationship. And it's kind of reflected in the New Testament. Yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. So same thing. He does everything and then invites us to participate in what he's doing.
Yes.
And that's huge. I don't know that we think of it that way too often. And what that's leading me to, there's two things I wanted to get to before we're done today. And the one is the Sabbath. And no, I don't want to go in, visit a day, or is it a time of rest now? And people have all their opinions and whatever.
But I certainly do.
Do you?
Yes.
That is so unusual. Well, why don't you go with that? Is it a day? Is it Saturday?
Yeah, love, why don't I go with just exactly what you didn't want to get off on a tangent and discuss? Yeah, that would be a good move.
All right. But what I was going to say about the Sabbath is it's so important to God that he mentions it so often in Scripture. And I don't know when the very first mention of it is, but, you know, as they're going through the desert, and then here comes the manna from heaven. And he's like, no, you're just going to do that for 6 days. On the sixth day, get yourself a double portion. Hang on to it, because you're not doing anything on that seventh day.
That's and then, of course, there was some pinhead that went out there going, hey, where's the manna? It was here all the other 6 days.
Yeah, that's right. And there's always going to be one in the crowd, or 100 or 100,000.
I think ancient Israel was the one in the crowd that was obeying. Yeah,
that's probably closer to the truth. But it was interesting how often. And again, that's just reflective of our relationship with God under grace, how often we go the other direction, even though it's so obvious you know, who God is, and this relationship is so awesome, and yet we put it aside for other things. We neglect it. We disobey. It's crazy, but it's great to see that in the Old Testament, hundreds and thousands of years ago, and we really haven't changed in all that time. But the Sabbath was so important then, and then he includes it in the Ten Commandments to keep the Sabbath holy. Or you can go ahead and profane it and die. There was that little thing.
See, they did have a little bit of choice. It was a little bit negotiable.
Right.
You can die instead.
So. Yeah. It's always good to have choices. And then when he's having them build the tabernacle, he's going through all this stuff and all this stuff and all this stuff, and then bam, oh, and by the way, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. But the thing I like is when they're building the tabernacle and he tells them to keep it holy, he goes on to explain that this is a sign, he says, between me and you throughout generations that you may know. And here it comes. You ready? Wait for it. This is the important, this is the nugget that you take away from this show.
Is this the nugget? Okay.
This is the nugget. I know you were thinking maybe it was earlier. Maybe
I thought it was the squirrels, but okay.
Squirrels. But
maybe no. This is the nugget.
This is the nugget. He goes on to say that this is a sign between me and you throughout generations that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you.
Ah, there's that nugget.
That nugget is like a huge boulder, actually. And some people need to be hit over the head with a boulder or to actually sink in. But don't you think that is so important and so cool that he lays it out like that? Because, I mean, it doesn't take much for us to think that we're all that and that we're important and that what we do makes a difference and that somehow God needs our help. And, you know, if we do enough right things and wrong things, I mean, how easily we get off track and how much we need to remember that it's God who sanctifies us, not us. We haven't been saved through our works. We've been saved to then participate in work.
Exactly. And what we're doing for the rest of our lives is we're thanking God.
Yeah.
Our works are an expression of thanks. It's not, I better do this or I better do that or I won't go to heaven.
But how often are those works done with that in mind? Either, you know, a checklist for ourselves or just to feel better about ourselves or for other people to see or to feel even maybe led by God, but under the feeling that I need to do this because it's me. You know, and we forget it's God working through us and inviting us into that relationship. And he's the one sanctifying us. And to remember that, we have the Sabbath. Now, whether people, you know, enter into Christ's rest and it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or it's on a Saturday or whatever, that's not the point. The point is...
Well, that's the point if you're a Seventh-day Adventist.
Well, that is the point. Well, there's two points, that point and the point on the top of your head. No,
yes,
I'm kidding.
Right.
it's... There, I don't know. I just blew me away when I read the explanation and was so glad. Not that I didn't know that before. I knew that. But to know that that hasn't changed, that it's always God who sanctifies us. God's always the hero in our life. And he laid it out for them again and again and again how important the Sabbath was and the reason it's important for us to remember. And of course, now under grace, look at us in America. We're always trying to accomplish, you know, more to do, more to say, more to, you know, we're always trying to do stuff.
And right now we're accomplishing a break, but we will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show with Greg Jarvis. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching of nationally famous speaker, Pastor Jim Garlow. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Discussing the relationship between God's law and God's grace with my good friend and rotating co-host, Greg Jarvis. Greg, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Bob. Glad to be here. And this is great to review this stuff. I don't know, some things hit you, you know, a little bit stronger, a little bit more.
At different times in our lives, certain verses will jump out at us more. We might have comprehended it before, but sometimes because of the way we're relating to it, it becomes more important to us.
Well, and have you ever had, when you're growing up, do you guys ever go, we never went to Walmart, because when I was growing up, it really wasn't a big deal out in California.
It's a big deal out in California now.
Well, I know.
We have Walmart.
It's everywhere.
It yes.
makes you feel right at home, I'll tell you. Your parents ever...
There's usually a Target across the street from it competing with it, too. So.
That's exactly as it should be. That's how it is here in America, thankfully. But have you ever been called down as a kid? You know, you're running through the clothes and Sears. It was always Sears. We always went there. But anyway, running through the clothes and playing around, and your parents are like, hey, stop that. And it was usually just obey their voice or reap the consequences.
Right, and usually right while you're having a lot of fun, too.
A lot of fun. I mean, you're running through clothes. I would still do that except I'm 6'2", and the racks aren't that high, so I've hit my head a couple of times, so I quit doing that.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is when you get an explanation of the why, and that's what we get here with the Sabbath, is what's the purpose of it? It's to remember. It's to take a rest from all that we do, because what is man's tendency? Man's tendency is to work things out for himself, or once he starts working, to keep working and to not have a balance, and certainly not to remember that God is the one who sanctifies us. I think it would be real easy for the Israelites and real easy for us today to go right back to thinking we're all that, and somehow we need to keep doing all of this. So it's nice to have that, but I think some people look at the Sabbath as another rule got to follow, and forgetting about the reason for it. And that should draw us to the Sabbath, to remember that God is sanctifying us.
And it is important when God does give us rules and reasons for the rules, because he's not just some killjoy that's up there trying to keep us from having a good time. That is very important.
Oh, yeah. I always tell people, I know they picture these conversations at work sometimes, and people bring up questions or whatnot about God. And I say, you know, it looks and sounds like you have a vision of God, that he's pointing a finger at you, pointing that index finger saying, you better do this or that. And then I say, but you know what? God's really standing there. And then I hold both my hands out to him. He's really standing there offering all this relationship. And I think that that's just, we don't often look at it enough that way.
Yeah, one of the questions that students ask me a lot is, why is God against premarital sex? And I said, well, it's not because he's anti-sex. He created sex, but this is something very intimate that's going on. And if it's not in the context of a commitment, and you're going to get intimate with somebody, and then you're going to break off and break their heart and hurt their feelings. And God is concerned about not breaking hearts. It's not that he's sitting around trying to figure out ways for you to not have fun and enjoy life.
And that's so true. There's so many reasons behind lots of things that he gives us direction for. But so often we want to take that as a rule and then either rebel against it or fashion it into a law, a club that we can club ourselves with or others when they're not behaving. And it's like, that's just ridiculous. But the reasoning behind it is certainly helpful. So that really jumped out. And though I've known that, you know, God's the one that sanctifies me, I'm not doing it. It's just such a good reminder, this Exodus 19 and 20, that God's the one that did it all to redeem us.
Yeah, I like that. The redemption came first, and then the law followed. I like that.
Yeah. And now, for your 50 cent extra, this was cool. Have you ever seen the movie The Matrix?
I have seen the movie The Matrix. I've referred to it oftentimes because there's a lot of good analogy in there.
There is, and I love
it. And I don't just mean the woman named Trinity. I mean, there's even better analogies than that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of the one I really liked. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. But here's a good analogy. I mean, I read this, and I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. This is what they do in The Matrix. Remember when Neo, he gets plugged in, and he gets fed all these files where all of a sudden now he knows jujitsu, he knows karate, he knows different languages, he knows how to fire weapons, he knows all this stuff simply by being plugged in and being fed all these programs. I don't know if you remember that part or not. But
I do remember that, because in reality he's not really doing anything. He's just part of a computer program, but experientially, from his point of view, he's doing it.
Right. So now let's go back to the future, 2,000 years ago, and this is great. In Exodus 31, it's all flowing through Sabbath and whatnot, and God's directing them to build the tabernacle, and don't you forget the Sabbath, and do this, and do this, and do this. Then he gets to the part about the builders.
Yeah, his spirit came upon them before they built it.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? He goes, see, I have called my name, Bezalel, son of whoever, and blah, blah, blah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship.
And he accepted it instead of saying, oh, God, can I just get the jujitsu from you and have him build the tabernacle?
Yeah. I mean, but that's, so here, I mean, again, this is so cool. It's like God, again, does everything. He has the plan. He calls the people. He redeems them. He gives them the law. He wants them to build this tabernacle. It's not like he couldn't build it himself. He just parted the Red Sea and brought them out of Egypt, and there are lots of plagues. It's not like he couldn't have, you know, fashioned a tabernacle lickety-split, but he wants the people to participate in it. And he even gives them what they need to participate in it. And that's very much like today, about God giving us what we need to respond to his message.
The other analogy that I really like from Matrix is when the Keanu Reeves character is being told what's going on. They give him this choice between taking a red pill or a blue pill.
Blue pill, yeah.
And one pill will put him back under the delusion. You can go ahead and continue with your life. But if you take the other pill, you're going to be living in reality. If we were to see our reality with God and angels and demons trying to mess with our head, if we could just see life with that reality, we would look at life completely differently. All right, I'm here with Greg Jarvis. We'll be right back.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. Bobsiegel.net.
We're down to our last segment, but welcome back for one more round.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So I really just want to highlight again that mathematical phrase that everyone can learn, 19 is before 20. So important to remember that relationship comes before laws and commandments, and how often we get that wrong.
Yeah, I'd also like to make a clarification for the audience, because we read an awful lot in the New Testament, particularly when we get to Paul's writings, about how we're not under the law and the law never saved us and we needed Christ. And yet it's pretty apparent when you go to the Old Testament that God was expecting the Jews to obey the law. So people might be listening now and getting a little bit confused, saying, well, which is it? Do we obey it, or is it something that we don't obey? Didn't God give it to us to show us we can't follow it? Some of that confusion is alleviated when we realize that there were two parts to the law. There was the moral law and there was the ritual law. The ritual law, made up of animal sacrifices, was atoning for the fact that we were not capable, at least not capable 100%, of obeying the moral law. The blood of the bulls and the goats and the sheep, that was not really atoning for people. It answers that question. How did God judge people before Christ came? This is at least part of the answer, at least how he did it in Israel. They didn't understand that a person named Jesus was going to die for their sins, but they understood that these animal sacrifices were atoning. Later on, we get to the book of Hebrews, and he tells us, well, it was actually Jesus who died for Abraham and Moses. So we have the moral law, don't kill, don't steal, and there are times when people blow it, so then they make an animal sacrifice. Well, if they could be true within that check and balance system, if they could at least do the ritual law to make up for the fact that they weren't doing a very good job on the moral law, God would look at that whole thing and say, this person followed my law. So it doesn't really contradict what Paul's saying. Paul was saying that we fall short with the moral law, and that's why we need the Spirit of God to come into our lives.
Right. Right. And we absolutely do. I mean, we can't, like Israelite, we can't keep a perfect moral law. I mean, there's just no way.
Exactly. But what they would have called a person who follows the law in those days is what God would call a person who's saved today. It's just that things were arranged differently.
Right. Well, and for our benefit, we're glad that we're on this side of Christ and have that understanding, not only because of the Holy Spirit living inside us, helping us to, you know, toward that moral law, but also then helping us to understand that Christ did it. That's why I'm...
Yes, we have more revelation. We have more of an understanding of what's going on.
Right, right. And not under the law. And against, you know, under love, there is no law. If love rules our life, you know.
Exactly. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill him, obviously. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to sleep around with his wife behind his back. There are a lot of things that are just going to follow. And that's why Paul said the only command is to love your neighbor. And Jesus said the same thing. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. This fulfills the law and the prophets.
Yeah, and even that, we mess up on.
We'll mess up on anything. We're human beings.
That's exactly exactly right. Give us half a chance. Give us a quarter of a chance. Well, there goes math again.
There
right.
you go.
don't want to get into division.
Yeah.
That's even harder. So
you're kind of the Lewis Carroll of this program. Lewis Carroll snuck in mathematics when he wrote Alice in Wonderland. So.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay. Well, I like being compared to someone who's noteworthy.
Either that or he was on acid when he wrote it, one or the other.
That's kind of what I heard, but I don't know. I wasn't there. It's a pretty crazy story, though.
Yeah, it's nutty. A nutty story, yeah.
Yeah. But it's, I guess I'm just taken the more and more I see these things fall into place, and not just fall into place, but historically fall into place and be so consistent. I mean, we know God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that he never changes. He expresses himself differently. He'll do different things in history. He'll move this way here. He'll move that way. But he's the same. And that relationship as a priority coming first has always been there. And you know, Christ's our model, and relationship was important to him as well. Relationship first and foremost with his Father, and relationship with the disciples. And that's important for us to remember. That relationship is key. I think a lot of times it's easy to, and we want to, either want to, or we just fall into going things on our own. Whether it's lack of input from other Christians, a lack of being accountable, you know, getting caught up in our day-to-day.
Or our own conceit. We always think we know better than everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. Or that. You know, it's so easy to get off track. And yet we need to be brought back. And again, that's why I really like the way the Sabbath is talked about again and again and again, how important it is to keep it holy, but the why of it, so that we remember who it is that sanctifies us, who it is that's changing us. And that's a great thing for us to remember today, that we are actually, well, supposedly we've died to ourselves anyway. It's not us, it's Christ that lives through us. But sometimes we don't live like we died to ourselves. And I've said this before on the show, it's like we still live our lives with a sprinkling of the perfume of God, wanting it to be acceptable, as opposed to us living in such a way that God lives through us with a sprinkling of the perfume of our personality. And I think that's key. I think that's preferable. But we have to keep that we die to ourselves in the forefront of our mind.
Right.
And we'll do that in relationship with God first, and then fellow believers around us to remind us of these things, gently or sometimes not so gently. But that's key. And to me, that's really what's at least on my heart and my mind this week is just how important enough, important enough to God that he repeats himself over and over in scripture over it, and then is the embodiment of that example for us, and wants us to be a part of that as well. And then to remember that not only is he the one sanctifying us, again, that he's doing everything and just invites us to participate in a loving way.
Well, Greg, as always, it's good to have you here. I always appreciate your insights. And I'll be seeing you soon. Greg's actually going to be one of the groomsmen in my wedding. So,
yeah, looking forward to coming out and seeing you, Bob, and being a participant in that wonderful event. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, we'll probably have you on at least one time before then. But one way or the other, I'll see you soon.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.